Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
All right. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. It's an Alabama Sunday morning. We don't need too much philosophy this morning. We got to get busy because there's a lot of stuff going on right now that you need to be attending to in your yard, in your garden. We're going to talk about pruning. I hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to have a special guest. He's a guy who is, his wife has been pestering him for a long time. When are you going to prune those grapevines? When are you going to get to the apple trees? What are you going to do? That's me. So I got to get out there and I got to do this right. And I review this every year just to see what's new about pruning. And I try to do my best. And I'm going to try to help you. I will say that our special guest is probably not the world's expert on all types of pruning. And he should not portray himself as such an expert. He is, however, somebody who's thought about pruning a lot and can probably help you through some things, sort of the basic things. I'm not a commercial grower. That's a whole different thing. You ain't a commercial grower either, probably. If you are, you're not going to get your advice from me. But if you're a gardener, I got some advice on how to prune. And there's always the first step we have to take when we do pruning, and so you're gonna have to think about this first, because it's really, really important. And the first question that we have to ask about pruning is, why do you want to prune? No, I mean, why do you want to prune? Have you got a good reason for pruning? And for a lot of cases, you probably don't have a good reason for pruning other than somebody, you read it from some, you know, somebody on Facebook or somewhere, and you heard it on wherever. And you thought, well, maybe I ought to prune. Or maybe you saw your neighbors pruning and they are out butchering something, and you figure, gosh, maybe I need to go butcher something. You know, it's the bloodlust of spring. Let's first talk about this real quickly. You may not need to prune at all. There are a lot of things that really don't benefit from pruning. You know, it's just that simple. There are a lot of things that only need really marginal pruning. Mostly we prune because we see our neighbors pruning, honestly. That's your best excuse. And your neighbors prune because they saw their neighbors pruning, and they don't know what they're doing. And the people they saw pruning didn't know what they were doing. And so what you're doing is you're basically spreading bad habits over a broad area. But let's talk about what needs pruning and what doesn't need pruning. First off, just to put you in the right mind frame here, most of your citrus probably doesn't need pruning. And in fact, if you prune citrus, I'm trying to think whether I can make this a blanket statement or not, but I think on the Gulf Coast, it's just a blanket statement. If you prune citrus, you're going to make a mess. You're going to make things worse. And that's true for almost every citrus. It's certainly true for satsumas. I just don't think there's any reason for a home gardener to want to prune a satsuma. If you prune because it's too close to the house, well, you've made a mess in the first place, and I don't really know how to help you. It's just got to be a mess. Because pruning citrus, for example, doesn't encourage the citrus in any way. It makes it less hardy and less vigorous. And it more than likely reduces your fruit crop. The only pruning you would do on citrus is on the fruit. And that's after the fruit has begun to form. If you've got a if you have something that's very tall, like a calamondin, I suppose you could think about pruning it, or a grapefruit, or a or an orange that gets very tall, or a pongkan. But the trouble with that is that it will make it less hardy. It's just almost inevitable. And I don't think you need to be doing, because citrus is, so there it is. There's something. You just don't prune a citrus. Just avoid it. Do everything you can to avoid it. Plant it in the right place. There it is. There are a lot of other trees and plants that don't need pruning. I mean, they just don't. So why are you going to prune them? This is what we need to talk about. Azaleas, we could go on a long story about that. Camellias, for the most part, they don't need pruning. And many times when they're pruned, people make a mess of them. They make things worse. I think it's particularly true for camellias. Azaleas can tend to recover if somehow they escape pruning for a year or two. But yes, we make a mess when we prune things. I don't want to get into azaleas right now. You can call me later and we can talk about it. So there are many things that don't need pruning, but I want to talk about one thing because I promised I would do this. There are, however, a few things that do need pruning, and we'll talk about why. One, you got to be able to harvest the fruits very easily. Two, you want those fruits to have plenty of air circulation. Plenty of air circulation so that they dry out, so that they don't get diseases. You want the leaves to be able to catch enough sunlight. Here's an example of a plant. And this is exceptional. But we're going to talk about this exception today that really needs pruning if you're going to be successful. And ironically, it's the plant that almost never gets the kind of pruning that it needs. It's grapes and muscadines. So we're going to talk about grapes and muscadines today because they're one of those plants that really, really, really needs pruning. And they need pruning hard, and they need pruning tough. And we're going to talk about all the reasons why as we get into this. So what are the tools we need? And this is, I'm assembling these tools today. You need some pruners. You know, I think it helps to have a good pair of long-handle loppers, but you also want some pruners that you can fit in one hand. A very nice pair. Good thing. Great thing to have those for many reasons. And then you probably need a small tooth saw, a pruning saw with small little teeth. You might need that. Probably you don't if you got the other loppers, but you might. So there you go. There's one other thing you need, and it's a measuring tool. And listen, the very important measuring tool, I want you to find it right now. So here's how you find this measuring tool at your home. I want you to start at your shoulder, and I want you to go down to your elbow and then down to your wrist, and at the end of your wrist, you will find an excellent, excellent measuring tool. It's called your hand. Now, if you want to calibrate your hand, you can do that. You can put a little ruler up there to your hand, and you can measure it across and see exactly how wide it is. But your hand should represent somewhere between 5 and 7 inches. If you want it to be a little wider, you can spread your thumb out. I can't do that anymore. My thumb's got arthritis. But you could throw your thumb out there and make it a little bit wider. But there you go. Use your hand as a measuring tool because you're going to use it a lot. We're going to use it a lot on the grapes. You're going to use it on a lot of fruit. And your hand's about 6 inches. Oh, somewhere in there. And that 6 inches is very important for a lot of things. If you're going to go in and thin fruits on your satsumas, which you should do, you want those fruits to be about 6 inches apart. Look at that. There's your hand. If you want spurs on your muscadine to be about 6 inches apart, there's your hand right there. It's a good tool, nice useful tool, about the width. You can take a ruler and measure it if you want to be double sure, but there it is, a great measuring tool. So we're going to go out and we're going to look at this. Listen, for grapes, what am I going to tell you? What I'm going to tell you, the first thing I'm going to tell you is, if you want a vine, put it on an arbor. If you want grapes and muscadines, you got to put it on a trellis, not an arbor. So we're going to come back and talk about that when we get back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Rain, rain on my face. All right. Welcome back. Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Alabama Sunday morning. It is Joe Kane Day, and I fully recognize this. And it's going to be maybe a rainy Joe Kane Day. So maybe you're not going to be out getting sopping wet. Maybe you want to be thinking about these things. Joe Kane Day is a good day to begin to think about pruning if you're into gardening and if you're on the Gulf Coast. But we're talking about pruning this morning. We're talking about why we do it, and people are inclined to do it this year, this time of year, for many reasons, or earlier. But let's talk about timing on pruning just generally. Generally, timing on pruning for most everything. The worst time to prune on the Gulf Coast and in Alabama is winter. Worst time to prune. Absolute worst time to prune. Well, fall is the worst. October is the worst. There's no question. October would be the worst time of year to prune. November would be as bad. December's pretty bad, really bad. Maybe not quite as bad as October, but it's bad. January, still pretty bad. February, getting a little better. March is probably a great time for many people to prune, and maybe the best time to prune. Most people don't wait that long, and they should. Here's why. Pruning reduces hardiness. Pruning will reduce the hardiness of what you're growing and pruning. So you really want to watch for that. You really want to be careful about that. It's just wait. Is the best thing. But February, mid-February, we're coming up on a time when it's getting increasingly safe to prune. Your vines, if you're going to prune muscadines, your vines are going to bleed this time of year. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to bleed. That's okay. And that's going to happen into March. That's fine. That's not the worry. The worry is that pruning too early reduces hardiness. And with our fluctuating spring temperatures, that's a big issue. It's an increasingly big issue because our springs are changing. Temperatures are fluctuating. So you don't want to do that. We said we were going to talk about how to prune grapes because a lot of people were interested. I hope those people are paying attention now, today. Let's talk about what we want with grapes and muscadines. An arbor doesn't work if you want muscadines and grapes. And that's because grapes and muscadines fruit on new wood, essentially, right where they're going to fruit where the old wood meets the new wood in many cases. Last year's wood. And if you, the older the wood is, the less likely it's going to produce fruit. The less likely it's going to produce fruit. So how do you deal with that? It's basically, you have to prune a muscadine and a grape back nearly to the trunk. Not quite to the trunk, but nearly to the trunk every year. It's going to look very bare when you're through. There's not going to be a bunch of vines hanging out there in the air. It's going to get pruned way, way back. And more than you imagine if you haven't pruned a grape or muscadine before. It's going to be scary. You're going to have to prune it back. And that's partly because grapes and muscadines are vines. They're not trees. And they're kind of used to not putting a lot of energy into trunks. They actually put a lot of energy into putting on new growth each year if they can. So you don't have to worry as much about that, but you do have to worry about where they're going to set the fruit. And it's going to be right along, it's going to be along what we call spurs. Let's talk a little bit about that. To start with a muscadine, there are several ways of doing it. The ideal way of with a muscadine and a grape is called the Watson or the Munson system. And that is, you have one trunk coming from the ground, and that separates into four pieces. Now, what are you going to hang those pieces on? You got to have something to hang them on. Those are usually wires that are strung between poles. And if you've got four pieces emerging from the trunk, and that should come up to about chest height, you're going to need two wires, and probably two wires beyond that. Now, that's ideal. That's going to be very hard for most people, but I want to talk about that ideal system. Here's a simpler way of doing it. Let's make it really easy. Let's make the trunk come up to about chest height, and let's have one wire with two vines stretching along it, along the whole distance of that wire. That's how it's typically done. And that works very well. So we're going to talk about how to do that today. That's what we're going to talk about. So listen, pay close attention, because what you've got, one trunk coming from the ground, just like it's a tree trunk. You don't want any branches coming from that trunk along the ground. You want to prune out those competing branches. You can leave one or two just in case you need them later, but you want to cut them way back. You want to cut those vines way back to where they're almost right next to the trunk, where there may be only two or three buds showing. And you really don't want more than one or two of those on the trunk. But you want that trunk to come up to about chest height or nose height. That's fine, too. You can do it that way. And then you want them run along a wire. And you want just one cordon running along that wire. One branch running along that wire. And you want to tie that to the wire. And every year you're going to prune back so that you can see that branch very, very clearly. You want to be able to see it really clearly. And what you're going to prune it back to are called spurs. And these spurs should, you want to use that measuring tool. You remember the measuring tool, which was your hand? You want those spurs to be at least 6 inches apart on those two long branches that you have coming off, the two long permanent branches that you have coming off of your trunk. So what does a spur look like? Well, it's a sprout. It's a sprout that has the new canes on it that emerge each year. And we want to control the growth by controlling the length of those spurs and how many buds are on each spur. So you're going to see a little growth coming off of your main branch, and that's your spur. And you want to see where the new growth is each year, and that's going to be light brown wood on the spur. There's going to be some dark wood, which is the old growth, and then you're going to see some light wood, and that's the new growth. And you want two or three buds on that light brown new growth, the smooth growth, the light brown wood that was last year's growth. You want to leave two or three buds on there, no more. And you want to prune everything else off. So that's the trick. That's basically it. You got two arms, You've got spurs, or growths coming off of those two arms that should be about 6 inches apart, about your hand width apart, no closer. And you want three buds on the brown new growth on each of those spurs, each of those growths coming off at every 6 inches. Some grapes you can actually go a little farther than 6 inches apart. It won't hurt. If it's 8 inches apart, not a problem. 10 inches apart, not a problem. Some vigorous varieties you could even go a foot apart, and it would be okay. It would be fine. You're probably better off cheating in a home garden, sort of cheating on the high side. In other words, wider than your head. Between each spur is better than closer than your hand on each spur. So that's the basics. That's the basics. And if you're just getting started out, it's pretty easy. But what if you've got a really overgrown vine? How are you going to deal with that? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
There you go. There you go. You know, it's some good news for gardening. It's going to get a little colder, and that's going to be good. I'm glad the forecast is trending colder. And chillier. We don't want things to wake up too soon. I know a lot of things are budding out. If any of you are not completely jokinged out here today, let me know how your blueberries are doing. Let's get a roundup of how things are looking as they're budding out. I don't think it's going to be super cold. I think that's good. I think it's going to be chillier, and that's even better. That's good to have chilly weather this time of year. It's perfect. Everywhere in Alabama. And it gives us a little longer to catch up. Everything's going to be fine. Everybody's going to get their winter chilling. And it can be time to prune. It can be time to prune some things. Listen, we're talking about grapes, and I said I was going to do this, and I'm not going to regret it. It's good for me, and it'll be good for you, too, if you've got grapes and muscadines. There's some things to think about when you're growing them. I really like grapes. I really love muscadines. I will tell you, my good friends make great wine. My wife makes great wine. I can't drink wine for a variety of reasons. It's a problem. Well, at least grape wine I can't, and there may be several reasons for that, and it's not the sulfites, and it's not the tannins. It's probably other weird things. But I love muscadines. I have friends who are just obsessive about muscadines. I mean, they will eat muscadines until they're sick, which is okay. Because it's really worth it. It's really good. You know, I think if I had to have a last meal, it would be, I would say, let me out of prison long enough to go out in a longleaf forest where there's a good muscadine vine. Because somehow those longleaf savannas have the best muscadine vines when you find them, with the best fruit. Let me eat some of those fruit. That's my last meal. They're so good. Muscadines are so good. Grapes are great. There are, on the Gulf Coast, we have a harder time with grapes. There aren't as many varieties, but there are some good ones. And you can call me about it if you're interested in them, and we can talk about them. And depending on what you want to do with them, we have to be very careful. As you move north into Alabama, there are more grape varieties. One of the ones that I like, I don't think it does quite as well along the coast, but up even around Jackson and up to Montgomery and Birmingham and clearly up to Huntsville, Cynthiana, the old Norton grape, is a really great, delicious grape that's really, really, really fun. And there's some Munson grapes from Texas that are really fun to talk about, and we'll talk about some of those. But the question is, how do you grow them? How do you prune them? And I'm giving you some preliminary information now because you're going to want to start pruning. No, you don't have to get out there this week. In fact, the longer you wait, the better. I would wait up to a point. You could wait easily until the 1st of March. Almost anywhere in Alabama. You could wait till the middle of March up in North Alabama. And no problems. There's no problems. I think it's probably going to be cool enough that you're going to be okay to prune now. I don't think we're going to have the big problems with the cold. But I wouldn't prune before the middle of February. Not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do in Alabama. With really with any plant. Just try to avoid pruning before the middle of February. With grapes, let's go back. Because what we wanted to do when we have a grape is we want to have a central trunk with two arms. A T. A very simple T. And those two arms are going to extend about 6 to 8 feet in either direction along a wire. Okay? That's how you want to do it. And then on those branches, the top of the T that extends along that wire, you want to have spurs. And those spurs ought to be about a hand's width apart. And what does a spur look like? It's just a branch coming off of the T. It's new growth coming off the T. And you want, on each of those spurs, you want 2 to 3 buds. You know what a bud looks like? It's that little bump on the branch. A little bump where new growth emerges. You want 2 to 3 buds on the lightest brown wood on each one. So essentially you're pruning back last year's growth to 2 or 3 buds on each spur. And then you're probably going to want to eliminate every other spur, every other bud, every other growth on that spur. So that you just have one piece of new growth with 3 buds. That's going to be plenty. That's all you need. That's all you need. And those are about, each of those spurs are about 6 inches apart. You call me if that doesn't make sense. We'll talk about it a little bit. So what else do you need to do? Well, here's the problem. And a lot of people don't prune, and they haven't pruned regularly. And so they've got growth that is now so far away from the T, from those two branches that you want to keep, that it's like more than a foot, more than 2 feet, more than 3 feet before you get to any new growth. When that happens, you can play with it this year, but you are going to need to prune. You're going to look for latent buds. You're going to look for buds that are closer to the trunk, and you're going to cut that whole spur back to where those latent buds have emerged and they're close to the trunk. If you've got a vine that has branches coming off the tee that are much longer than 2 or 3 feet, and you've got a lot of them, call me. Let's talk exactly about how we do that, because that's a little trickier. But it's not hard, and it just requires more pruning. You can rejuvenate one side of it. One side of your vine is one way to do it this year, and another side the next year. I think that's very doable. And you're going to have to remove those growths in between each spur. We'll talk about how to do that. You kind of want to favor the ones that are on the top. Can't always do that, but you kind of want to favor the ones on the top, and you want to cut those other spurs off. Cut them off right there at the trunk. It's a big pruning job. You're going to have a lot of stuff left over. Find some good stuff to do with what you've got left over. All those prunings. Really good. So I've given the basic rundown on pruning muscadines and grapes. There's some other things I can say, but that'll get you started. That'll get you started. Jim is saying he's going to get his first decent harvest of loquats this year. And that's really good. How long does it take to get the ripe fruit? Based on my experience in Mobile, we usually are harvesting loquats starting about the 1st of April. And some will produce a little later. Some may actually produce a little earlier, but it's about the 1st of April. And it may continue to about April 15th. And I suspect that's what it's going to be this year. It's regardless of when they bloom in fall, if they're going to make it through our winter, they slow down. The development slows down so much that basically they all sort of synchronize. And so it's going to be April, Jim, and it should be a lot of fun. Do you prune climbing roses? Well, you certainly can, but they're hard to prune, obviously. Most climbing roses I would position in a way that I don't do a lot of pruning on them. And most of them won't need a lot of pruning. They'll be good. As long as they've got plenty to climb on, they should be good. Rejuvenating a climbing rose, you know, after many years, it may be good to prune out some of the oldest canes. Each year you could go in and look and say, okay, I've got about midway up, I've got a bunch of really old canes coming out. And they're the biggest, fattest canes I've got. And maybe you've got some newer canes that are not quite as fat that are growing up right next to it and climbing up into the air. You could prune out some of those older canes. Just prune them back to some of the newer canes coming out. Make sure there's a nice slant on it so that it drains well. And you could certainly do that. The trouble is, of course, you've got to remove that growth that you just pruned, which is awful tough. And so my inclination is, try not to prune big climbing roses too much. Something like New Dawn, oh my goodness, what a mess. I really don't know how to prune New Dawn effectively except to prune it back to the ground as hard as you can. It's a fine rose. It does tend to sucker a little bit, and that's another issue. Well, maybe it doesn't sucker. It just tends to root in at the branch tips. But I'm not going to tell you how to prune climbing roses because I don't think it's very easy to do it. You almost have to take the whole rose down if you want to do it gently, or you can prune it from the base, or you can find the heaviest cane about waist high or chest high on your climbing rose and prune it out, but then you got to figure out how to delicately take that out. You see what I'm saying? It's really hard to envision how to prune a climbing rose. All right, let's see what else we got. If you've already covered the pruning of blackberries, oh boy, I haven't gotten to blackberries this week. There's several different stories on blackberries depending on what you want to do. It's possible to prune blackberries back to the ground each year, and that's one simple way of doing it. We'll talk about blackberries in the next hour.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, so blackberries, one of the things we have to do, and I'll come back in the next hour and talk about blackberries. With blackberries, and some of you will maybe be growing raspberries a little farther north, there's some good varieties out there to do it with. It depends on what kind of blackberry you have, and you're going to need to know that for optimum pruning. Most blackberries will produce decently well if you simply cut them back to the ground, but there are some tricks to that, and there's some that are better. There's some ways of doing it better so that you get some really good fruit. We've been talking a lot about pruning today, and I'll review one more time just quickly. A lot of plants don't need pruning. You don't have to prune every plant in your yard. We need to figure out why we're pruning. Johnny from Grand Bay says, look, I know why I'm pruning this black cherry, because it keeps poking me in the head. And that's fine. You know, that's a good reason. That is a great reason to prune a tree. And then once you've determined, I've got a good reason to prune this tree, you think, okay, how do I prune it? How do I prune it so that it doesn't do damage to the tree, or to what I like about the tree, or to my house, or my car? So you want to think about those things. Sometimes pruning can do damage to a plant. If you thought about this, why would a plant enjoy being pruned? They don't, generally. They generally don't like to be pruned. There's nothing beneficial. There's very rarely, there's some exceptions, but very rarely does it make the plant happier when you prune it. Vines, for example, they're perfectly happy to be unpruned. They're perfectly happy to continue to climb to the tops of the trees. They don't care. They only need to produce so many fruit. They don't care whether those fruit are within your reach. And if they're wild growing vines, they've got fruit that's probably reasonably disease resistant, and it's sitting up in the top of the trees where it's getting plenty of air circulation, is less prone to disease in the first place. So a good muscadine vine, I mean, it's perfectly happy to never be pruned. But the problem with that is you're never going to enjoy the muscadines. And so you have to kind of wait for them to drop, and you kind of have to hope that the squirrels don't get it first, or the raccoons, or whatever, whoever's out there eating the muscadines, the turkeys, the birds in the tops of the trees. You got a lot to compete with if that muscadine doesn't get pruned. So we prune to benefit ourselves almost always, and to make life easier for ourselves, not to improve the health of the tree. So unless you've got a specific reason, a very good specific reason to prune, why are you pruning? With muscadines, for example, which we've been talking about a lot, just to give you an example, the reason we prune is to lower those branches so that we can reach the fruit. Otherwise, those branches are going to want to grow to the tops of a tree. That's what they've evolved to do over many, 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 many millions of years. Get to the top of the tree. And so you want to encourage them not to get to the tops of the trees. You want them to stay low so that you can pick the fruit. You also want those plants. You also want those plants to have plenty of air circulation around the fruit, because you're taking them way up in the tops of the trees. Air circulation is great where they're going to be fruiting at the very tops of the trees. But down lower down, when you bring them down, where they got a lot of dense growth around them, air circulation is not going to be so good. So they're going to be more susceptible to diseases, a little more susceptible to disease. Things to think about. So what are we going to do? We're going to what we're going to do is we're going to prune it back to a trunk and two branches. We're going to make a T. Very simple. We're going to have something to hang that T on, which is generally a wire. That wire is going to have to be supported. You can imagine how to support it. I can talk to you about that if you're really interested in it. We can talk about that. And then you prune that on those, on that T, you're going to see little sprouts coming off. We call those spurs. It's just a fancy name for a sprout coming off of the major T. That major T you've got out there. And we want to prune that spur so that there are only three buds on the lightest brown growth. The growth that is light brown, that's last year's growth. You only want three buds left on it. Two, three buds left on it. And for a muscadine, that works really well. Works for most of the grapes that we're going to be growing here along the Gulf Coast. That's very, very good. We got to have a reason to prune. We do with muscadines. We want them to be easy to pick. There it is. There it is. So give us a call this morning. I cannot, you know, I it's always useful to talk about a specific it's always good to talk about a specific situation and a specific type of muscadine or grape or blackberry that you're growing. The varieties, it's not just thorn and no thorn blackberries that we have to think about, by the way. There's a lot of different varieties of blackberries out there. When we come back, we're going to talk about just the basics of blackberry pruning, and it will work for most varieties. We're going to do our best, but it always helps. Listen, if you buy a plant, keep the cultivar name. Keep the name of the cultivar. If it doesn't have a cultivar name, if it just says, oh, this is a thornless blackberry, you're buying from the wrong place. I mean, because it's just luck. I mean, that's not a cultivar name. It will have a cultivar name like Brazos. I think that's one of the cultivar names for blackberries, or I don't know, Apache, or whatever the name of that cultivar is. It'll have a name, and that helps me to know what kind of pruning it actually needs. But saying thornless and non-thornless doesn't give you enough information. So hold on to that information when you purchase a peach or a pear or a apple, a plum. All of those, it really helps to know the cultivar. I will give you really easy instructions on the plum, which is don't. Peaches, I almost could say don't, because they're very hard to deal with, and we can talk about those. And not a lot of people have success. If I were going to grow one kind of plum, it would be Chickasaw plum. There are a few. Well, we're going to be back.
Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast with Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
All right, welcome back. It is a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. It's an Alabama Sunday morning. It's Joe Cane Day, so a lot of people are Joe Caning. But it may be a little bit muggy and rainy where you are. If it is, welcome to our show. We're going to talk a lot about pruning today. That's what I committed to, and I said I was going to do it, and so we're in pruning for the long haul. A lot of you are doing it for reasons you're not certain of. If there's one message I could give for today's show, it's a very simple message. You got to understand why you're pruning. That's it. Don't ask me when to prune. Don't ask me how to prune until you know why it is you're pruning. There it is. So if you've got questions and you want to know, when should I prune this? When should I prune that? You first got to answer the question, why am I pruning this? Do I really need to prune it? Same goes true for azaleas. It's true for crepe myrtles and many other things that we prune unnecessarily. And we make a mess when we prune. Citrus, oh my goodness, don't do that. Know why it is you're pruning. Plants don't benefit from pruning. It doesn't make the plant happier. You're amputating them, for heaven's sakes. They don't want to be amputated. You ever think about that? You know, if there's some terrible defect in the wood, some terrible defect in the tree, well, the amputation could be good and beneficial to the tree. We prune because it we almost always prune because it benefits us in some certain way. And if you can't figure out why it's benefiting you, well, you probably don't need to prune. But you can ask me, you know, how am I going to benefit from pruning my azaleas? I don't know. You tell me. How am I going to benefit from pruning my camellias? I don't know. You got to tell me. Because I don't know. In most cases, azaleas and camellias don't need a lot of pruning. There's some simple things you can do for azaleas. There's some simple things you can do for camellias. But really, they don't need a lot of pruning. On the other hand, there are some plants, like figs. I should have mentioned figs early on. And muscadines, grapes, we've been talking a lot about those. From your standpoint, if you want fruit, you're going to have to prune. With figs, it's a very simple story. You're pruning because you can't reach the figs. And the birds are reaching the figs before you do. Right? It's really, you know, if you're young and you're, you know, lithe and you're, you're 8 years old and you don't weigh much, it's easy to prune, it's easy to climb on a fig. I used to do it all the time. And easy to get the fruit at the top of the fig, no matter how big that fig tree is. But if you're, you know, the age you are, and you know the weight you are, and you know how that goes, you don't want to have to climb that fig tree. you just can't. And so the birds are going to get to all the fruit before you do. So the trick with figs is, it's really kind of pretty simple. You want to cut back at least three of the largest trunks every year. It's really pretty much that simple. If that scares you, cut back one of them. And when I say cut it back, I mean cut it back to the ground. You call me if there's questions about that. And that's going to leave some other sprouts that you didn't cut down, more than likely. If there aren't other sprouts, we'll talk about that. But it should leave other sprouts, and those are the ones that you want to work with. And really, you do this late February, early March, and you want all the remaining stems that you didn't cut down to the ground, you want to cut them off about shoulder height, right above an outward-facing bud, very simple. And that way, every fig that fig tree produces is going to be right there available to you. It will reduce the absolute number of figs it produces, perhaps, maybe. But that doesn't matter because you're going to harvest so many more. And this is big. So figs, we want them to be bushes because we want to pick them. And most of the fruit that is on a fig is produced on this year's growth. So there it is. It's very easy to do that with a fig and think about that with a fig. Muscadines were a little bit harder. And that was all I committed to today, was to do muscadines. But I knew I was going to get some other questions. Let's talk about blackberries real quickly, and we'll see how far we can go. We're going to get to blueberries. I knew it was coming up. I'm all set on blueberries. Blackberries don't. Blackberries fruit on second year canes, and then that cane dies. So if you've got a mess of blackberry canes coming up, look for the canes that fruited last year. Prune those out immediately, and then prune the rest of the plant back to fairly vigorous canes. So you're just reducing the number of canes. You could cut them all the way back, and some varieties will actually produce really well. Kiowa is one that, and you really want to cut them back. Let me say this. If you're thinning, you can do it just about any time of year. If you want to cut them all the way back, which is not a bad idea, do it immediately after they fruit. It's a simple way of doing it. After they fruit, cut the whole thing back. Rake out all those leaves. Go burn the leaves. And let those canes come up after they fruit. And they'll have a good long season. That's when you do it, after they fruit. Otherwise, you want to thin them. Arlie Powell has a method of pruning blackberries because he wants them to be productive. And Kiowa is a good one. It's thorny. And I will tell you, the thorny varieties are almost inevitably better. No, not almost. Thorny varieties are always better than the thornless varieties. Thornless varieties are okay, but the thorny varieties are really good. Kiowa is a great one. Arlie Powell, who really one of the great authorities in Alabama on fruit culture. Arlie has been working at it a long time. I have great respect for what he does. He has a method that is pretty involved, and it's trellising blackberries. And a lot of people do this because it makes if they really want production. And he only allows two canes to develop each year. Now, those of you who've grown blackberries, I want you to appreciate this. He only allows two canes to develop each year. And he suppresses all of the other canes. Whew. It's work. Takes some attention. He gets a ton of production out of it. It's really easy to pick. It makes a lot of sense. That's hard for the average homeowner to do. So what I'm telling you with blackberries, you call me if this doesn't make sense. If you're going to do it this time of year, you're basically stuck with thinning. You want to take out all of the canes that fruited last year. Can you identify those? Tell me if you can't. You should be able to. They're going to be the thickest, generally, and you want to take those out. And then you want to thin the remaining canes, which means the smallest canes that are coming up, go ahead and take those out. If you see canes with some other damage on it, take those out. And really what you only want for the coming year, I'm gonna say you really only want about three, four, five canes for the coming year to get your production from each crown. How's that? We're gonna be back. We're gonna talk about blueberries. I said this was gonna be a pruning show. Oh my goodness. It looks like it is.
Have a little song. Won't take long.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Oh, boy, are we ever talking about gardening. We're getting into the nitty-gritty on pruning. I feel like there's a disclaimer I have to say every segment, and that is, if you don't know why you're pruning, you don't need to prune. You've got to ask yourself, why am I pruning first? And then you ask, when do I prune? How do I prune? Right? Really important. Another important question. So somebody said, is it a good time to fertilize azaleas and camellias? And again, there's a basic question. I would say it's true for fertilization too. Why am I fertilizing? Do I actually need to fertilize? For most azaleas, you probably could get by without fertilization, depending on your soils, but you don't need a lot. And you want that fertilization to happen slowly, and this is particularly true for camellias and azaleas. When you fertilize, depends a lot on what you're fertilizing with and what you want to accomplish. With gardenias, you really want them to put on a second round of growth during summer. It's not important to fertilize during winter gardenias. If I said camellias, I meant gardenias. Camellias, probably the same thing. But gardenias, you really want that to support that second growth, so perhaps you can get some flowers again in fall. I would use cottonseed meal. It's nice and slow release. It's easy. You're not going to mess up. You're not going to make a mistake. And, yeah, it's fine to put it on now. Most of it won't become active until May, about the time the plant's through blooming. And that's okay. That's what you want. You certainly could actually fertilize later, and it would do just as well. You could fertilize in March and April, and that might even be better. But a little bit of cottonseed meal, well, or let's say a bucket of cottonseed meal. How big's a bucket? I don't know. With cottonseed meal, it doesn't matter to be as precise. You don't want a 5-gallon bucket, maybe, but a 1-gallon, maybe a couple of 1-gallon, a 1-gallon bucket around a gardenia every year is more than enough of cottonseed meal. I might be inclined to put a 1-gallon bucket on every couple of years in most soils, or every 3 years. Azaleas can get by with even less. Honestly, most azaleas don't need a lot of fertilization. The simple thing is use cottonseed meal, and then you can pretty much put it on whenever you like. It's not going to matter. Because it's so slow release, it's going to be released slowly, and that's really a good thing. That's a great thing. No need to force a lot of growth in spring. You want that growth to occur in summer so that you've got new growth coming in fall, and maybe you can get some bloom in fall as well. There it is. Does that help? Yes, you can. Only with cottonseed meal, though. I could talk a little bit about what would happen if you were to fertilize kind of heavily with, say, a chemical fertilizer this time of year on your gardenias. And I think you're going to get kind of a raggedy-looking shrub, and I don't think you're going to get as many flowers, quite honestly. Just let it coast. If you fertilize, let it coast this year. If you're going to use chemicals, use them, a chemical fertilizer, like 10-10-10 or whatever crazy number you come up with. Use that later this year, maybe as it's blooming or after it blooms. That would be an okay time to do that, as long as there's plenty of moisture. But really, use cottonseed meal. It's so simple. It makes it really simple. And believe me, gardenias love cottonseed meal. It's almost perfectly designed for gardenias and for azaleas, even though nobody actually designed it. It's kind of an accident, but that's okay. Did we Did we get the blackberries okay? Ouachita and Kiowa, I think, are both. You let me know if I gave you enough information on pruning those blackberries. If you're going to prune it to the ground, which is possible to do, I've done it and it did okay. Probably wasn't the most productive plant, but it was good. I usually do it right after they flower. Everything to the ground. And I've done that. There may be some advantages to that in terms of disease. If you rake it out, clean out around it while you're doing it, it makes it easier to do that. And you do it right after they bloom, and you'll still probably get a pretty good harvest the next year. But in spring, what you want to do is thin. So that you thin out last year's flowering canes and thin out all but, say, 4 or 5 canes from this year. Does that make sense? There you go. What's with the jingle bells? Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, there's a... What's that movie where the guy, during the trial, he flips the coins all the time? Very annoying thing. That's what I'm doing. All right. I'll stop the jingle bells. Sorry about that. Thanks for the information while you're, and I didn't, the rest of it didn't come through, but I'm sure you'll get that to me. Someone sent me a great picture, Ted. It was a picture of longleaf pine and asked about whether the growth of longleaf pine wood, which is very distinctive, when you cut through a longleaf pine and you see the growth, there's a very distinct band between summer wood and winter wood, light wood and dark wood. Longleaf is, of all the southern pines, longleaf is going to show that the most. It has the most distinction between summer wood and winter wood. I think I understood why that is at some point. And it's probably not going to rise to the top of my head right now. But I will tell you, it is very distinctive to longleaf. Shortleaf probably does it a little bit. Loblolly doesn't do it nearly as much. But it's a very distinctive feature of longleaf and probably most pronounced in longleaf. So if you're looking for that quality when you cut something through, it's going to show up most often in longleaf because of that distinct difference between the summer wood and the winter wood when it lays it down. Blueberries. Blueberries are another plant. You want to know why you're pruning it. You want to know why you're pruning your blueberries. And mostly it's to make it easier to pick. Secondarily, the reason we prune blueberries is to make sure that older, less fruitful canes don't shade out the other sprouts that are coming up from the base. And so the truth is, you really don't need to prune blueberries until they're about 4, 5, 6 years old. Not a lot of need to prune young blueberries. They're going to be just fine. You got a lot more things to worry about with young blueberries. If you've done your work right and they're really growing vigorously at 5, 6, or 7 years, probably closer to 7, you're going to need to start pruning out some of the heaviest canes. And you'll want to do that every year thereafter, quite honestly. So you go in there and you look for the heaviest, tallest cane, because that's going to be the one that the fruit's out of your reach, right? And you prune that back as close to the ground as you can. And you do it in spring. I will say this. Let's make sure we define spring correctly. A lot of blueberries are breaking bud already. Now, David Hubble tells me that in 08 zip code, they're not breaking bud just yet. However, in certain places they are. And so that what that tells me is these are kind of in danger. Blueberry fruits are pretty hardy. Some are hardy than others. But the earliest ones, like Tiff Blue, is one of those early bloomers. If it's coming out now, you definitely don't want to encourage it to develop buds any faster. So why I'm telling you all this is pruning can encourage flowering, and you don't want to do that right now. Let's wait just a while on the blueberries, and we'll come back and we'll talk again about how to prune them.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, welcome back. Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Alabama Sunday morning. Joe Kane Sunday morning. Which means many things along the Gulf Coast, if you know. There, the order of the bivalves, for example, is having their regular Sunday morning feast on the porch. Wish I were there for it. So we're talking a lot about pruning. It's good for me to think about if you're a sort of a, how do I describe it? If you're a sometime gardener, you kind of wake up one morning and say, gosh, I guess I got to prune. And you're flustering around thinking, God, what am I prune? Isn't it time? What do I? And, all right, go back to sleep. Because you probably don't need to prune. Most plants don't need pruning. And most of the, if you're a sometime occasional gardener, probably most of the plants you have in your yard really honestly don't need pruning. Certainly don't need pruning the way you're doing it, more than likely. But they probably don't need it. So just roll over. Go back to sleep. But if you're a gardener and you've got, you want some fruit, you want, you know, you want things to look good, maybe look a little better, a little snazzy. There are some things to think about when you're pruning. And the first rule is with pruning is plants don't need it. Plants don't enjoy it. They don't enjoy being amputated. So you got to determine why it is you're pruning. Always a good step. Steve, have I not said this every 15 minutes? Did I not promise I was going to do this? And I did. Why are you pruning? That's the first question. That's the first question. Once you figure that out, it makes everything else work. If you don't know why you're pruning, you're not going to prune correctly. You're not going to prune at the right time. You probably are going to prune unnecessarily. So let's think about why we're pruning. That's always the first and most important thing. We've kind of gone through it. The blueberries. So Jim says he's got a 10-foot tall blueberry. He's never pruned it, and that's fine. There's probably not a need. There's probably not a need because Jim is 12 feet tall. Right, Jim? So what are you going to do? I mean, it gets too tall. You got to have a ladder. That's fine. It's still very productive. You get a little ladder. You get a step stool out there. You prune those blueberries at the top, and you beat the blue jays to most of them. That's all okay, too. But it can help to bring it down, and that's one of the big reasons we prune things is to bring them down so that they're easier to pick. That's just it. That's it. And sometimes you need to do that, and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you can't, practically speaking, with citrus. You don't want to do that. That's the nice thing about satsumas, though, is that the, you know, whoever invented satsumas, and I imagine the persons who did it, but they thought, man, this is such delicious fruit. It's incredibly good. It's so easy to peel. And look at the way the tree weeps. It brings the fruit right down to the hand level, so you don't even have to climb on a ladder to pick it. Isn't that great? That's one of the great things about satsumas. So somebody says, oh, how to prune a satsuma. It's weeping. It's all these limbs going all, and they're laying down. I got to prune it. Well, no, you don't. That's exactly what it's supposed to do, and it's there for your benefit. Isn't that cool? Pruning citrus, not a good idea, generally speaking. There are probably a few exceptions, but you're going to have to find them and ask me about them. You're going to have to find me in it. Maybe kumquats, maybe just for ornament, but yeah, don't do that. So, Jim says there's already the blueberries have a couple flowers out. This is a good reason why you don't want to prune blueberries too early. Prune them a little bit later in the year. Listen, as we get these, because we're getting these late frosts, this is true for a lot of things, not just blueberries. Because we're getting this late frost, it's better to go ahead and see what kind of fruits are set and then prune. And I will also tell you, by thinning them out right now, by thinning those plants out and by invigorating new shoots, you're going to be pushing the flowering. You're going to make the plant more susceptible to cold. So hold off on pruning your blueberries now. Wait a little bit later. Don't prune them unless you're having trouble picking them. That's basically it. Sometimes really old stems, and Jim, I'm not sure how old yours are, but sometimes the really old stems get to where they're much less productive. They're not only high above your head where they set the fruit, but they actually get less productive at setting new growth. And so it's good as they get to be about between 7 and 10 years old, you're probably going to want to thin them out. At least take out one of the bigger trunks about every 1 to 3 years. There it is. And it's better to take it out to the ground. If you try to take it out, or very close to the ground, if you try to take it out too high, you end up with a bit of a mess. And you're opening up that center, it gets more sunlight. And listen, another thing about blueberries that I think a lot of people don't recognize. I'm sorry about the jingle bells. Sorry about that. It's these very attractive wing nuts that are really nice in my hands, and it really is fun to turn them around and around. So I'm going to stop that. But if you've got a blueberry, what you really want is you want the sprouts to come out around it. A lot of people don't realize they're pruning their blueberries when they mow too close. And when you mow too close to the blueberries, those sprouts that can come up around the side, which are more vigorous, they don't get to come up. So let some of those come up. They're very useful to the plant. There it is. Have I helped with the pruning? Is there any pruning that I haven't discussed? Loquats? Oh, don't prune a loquat. It doesn't make any sense to prune a loquat. They're pretty. They're nice ornamentals. If you prune, you're going to be prone to fire blight. You're going to increase the chances that you're going to get fire blight. Same is true for pears. They're a little harder to pick, I agree. But just don't prune them. I think that the chances of encouraging fire blight are so great. If I were going to prune a pear or a loquat, I would prune them after they flower. Definitely do not want to do it in spring under any circumstance. I'm sorry, after they fruit and after you've picked the fruit, then sometime in May and June and July, you could think about pruning those. But just in general, if you can avoid it, I would avoid pruning those because they're really tricky because of fire blight and other issues. And they just don't take to pruning real well. How's that? So there it is. Someone said my fig never got higher than this photo. I'm not sure where the photo was. The photo hadn't shown up. I have brown turkey, Texas everybody, and LSU, bless its heart, up here in Huntsville in 7.6 pH soil on the north side of my house. Chicago hardy lasted only one season. There are three. So let's I don't know how high they are, Carol. I don't know how high they are in the photos. So, because the photos haven't quite come through yet, probably big resolution, just haven't gotten here. You may not need to prune yours if they're not getting very high. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You've had a couple of bad winters, and let me. It was true throughout Alabama. The first winter, it was just flat out cold. It was cold down to what, 4 degrees, 3 degrees maybe in your yard. It got that way. This winter, it got down to probably 6 or 7 degrees, 8 degrees in your yard. But the really damaging thing, and the figs, most of those figs will survive that, but the really damaging thing is that we had a frost in North Alabama in March after everything had budded out and after the figs had begun growing, and boy, that did a number on the figs and really set them back. So it was a bad year, a bad couple of years. We hope that this year will be better. So, but no need to prune. I would not prune them. Yours are not ready for pruning. I will say this, Carol, and this is, I'll put in a plug. Hunt and Celeste are both really good. They're really, really pretty tough customers. Brown turkey, almost nobody knows what that means. Texas Everbearing could mean a lot of things, could be the same as brown turkey. These are, so it's hard to know what you have, but I would definitely add a variety called Hunt and a variety called Celeste to your collection. They're both pretty hardy and they do really well. LSU's, they're okay. They're okay. I'm not going to get into football politics, but they're just okay, regardless of everything else. The other thing I would say about your figs is mulch the stew out of them. And I mean, nut figs, particularly in those high pH soils, which they'll tolerate, but mulch the stew out of them. Put tons of organic matter, every leaf you can find. Let it, put it on there in fall, let it rot down, and make that mulch bed out 6 feet around the trunk. That's what I said. That's what I said. 6 feet around the trunk. That's not 6 feet total. I'm talking about 6 feet around the trunk. It'll make a ton of difference for those figs. At least give it a good start. Make it 4 feet around the trunk if you can't bring it to 6 feet right away. I guess that's probably where mine is. It's about 4 feet right now. But I'll extend it to 6 feet. Yeah, don't prune. They will get better and bigger. And they're going to get bigger because you're going to add all that mulch. And you should not prune them this year because they don't fit the reason. None of the reasons for pruning fit. The only reason you prune a fig is to make it easy to pick the figs. And that means you don't want them to be tree-sized, right? All right, we're going to be back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
All right, we've got a little bit of time left. We're going to cover some things. Barry asked me, he's got several red potatoes, Barry on Fish River. So Steve is not pure evil, by the way, because even he can't control Tiny Tim. Ha, ha, ha. There it is. So this question about potatoes. Potatoes are sprouting. What's the best time for planting? About 4 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago. It can be really good to plant in late January. But now's okay. It's a good time. Get them out now. Listen, you're going to need to have a pile of leaves. Go ahead and plant them. This is it. This is the week. There's no reason to delay. The more you delay, the poorer your harvest is going to be. That's just it. Along the Gulf Coast, Barry, that's it. Plant them. Get some leaves ready just in case we have a cold spell, and you can throw them over the leaves. They'll probably survive most cold spells anyway, but just in case, okay? Go ahead and get them out. Let's see. What else have we got to get to? Have we covered all of the pruning things? Oh, yeah. You had advised last week or before to saw off the bottom of 1.5 inches of root-bound satsuma or something. I don't remember what it was. Could this? I think it was a Sasanqua camellia. Can this be used as a rule of thumb for most trees, shrubs in the same condition? Yes. So when you have a root-bound plant, and we discussed this last week, and somebody added some information to it, but here's the basic thing. This is another form of pruning. It needs to be done when you're moving from a container into the soil, and this is one of the types of pruning that is actually beneficial to a plant. It's beneficial because plants didn't grow up to live in a pot. I mean, they haven't. This isn't in their genetics. Now, we try to write that into their genetics by selecting for plants so that they are better adapted to pots. But generally, plants don't adapt well to pots for a lot of reasons. We can design better containers, and we probably should, and maybe we will, but you get a lot of root-bound plants in plastic pots. What do you do? You don't leave plants to their own devices because they don't know how to deal with that situation. And one of the things we found is that by slicing off the bottom, a bottom sliver of that pot, and it could be, if it's a big pot, it could be 2 to 5 inches, 6 inches. If it's a big pot, if it's a smaller pot, you want to be a little less. Or if it's a really small pot, you just tease it. If it's like less than a quart, don't try to do all that slicing and dicing because you'll make a mess. But if you've got a gallon pot or a 5 gallon pot and it's root bound or a 3 gallon pot, you definitely want to slice off that bottom. And a 5 gallon, 3 or 5 gallon, you can slice off 2 inches easily. Slice it off the whole thing. Now that's going to open up the sides a little bit. You can tease those sides out. I will say that, and that's a general rule of thumb for almost any plant that's root bound. And most plants will be to some degree. And it's just a general prescription now from University of Florida. And I think it's correct. In my experience, it's very effective. The arborist group, recommends taking 2 inches off the side in the same way, slicing that off the side. And the reason they do that is because they're used to dealing with really big plants, and basically you can't turn them on. It's really hard to turn them on their side and move around, so they just suggest slicing around the side. It'll have the same effect pretty much. And you can do both, and I have done both on a plant, but start by slicing off the bottom. That often opens up the sides without doing a lot of slicing on the sides, but if you want to, you can also slice around the sides, and it's generally a good prescription. I know you weren't trying to be rude. It was Jingle Bells. I'm sorry. It's the Cane Mutiny, right, where he's flipping those corns, and it drives everybody crazy, and I thought, gosh, you know, I'm like that guy on the Cane Mutiny. I'm driving everybody crazy with this thing. Sorry about that. So there we are. Pruning, that was the big theme this morning on Joe Kane Day. I know you wanted to hear about pruning. A lot of you have been asking for it. I hope some of you were listening as we got to it. Pruning. Figure out why it is that you want to prune. I should have mentioned crepe myrtles. I guess I care less and less about crepe myrtles the older I get. I don't care what you do to them. I'm so sick of them. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that out loud. But, you know, they're kind of, and they're going to have all kind of disease problems because we've overplanted them to death, and I can't even see a crepe myrtle. I don't even see them anymore, except when they're really ugly, and then I do notice them. I, honest to goodness, I notice them. You can't kill a crepe myrtle by pruning badly, but you can sure make it look ugly. Why do you prune a crepe myrtle? The only reason you prune a crepe myrtle is because you saw your neighbors doing it. There is no benefit to pruning a crepe myrtle. Zero. None. Absolutely zilch. It's not going to affect flowering a lot. The only it's just you're going to create this sprangly, weird growth. No, you don't have to prune a crepe myrtle. When do you prune a crepe myrtle? Well, why are you pruning a crepe myrtle? It doesn't matter when. It really only matters why. And this is the first thing we need to do when we're thinking about pruning, is thinking about why we're doing this, why we're doing it. So we went through a lot of things. Do I need to talk about, some of you guys can jump on this, do I need to talk about apples? I'm happy to talk about apples. Do I need to talk about peaches? Oh my goodness, peaches are tricky to grow, but basically you want them to look like, you want to have a nice open center. You want to put your two palms together. Put your two palms together on a peach. You're looking at growing a peach. Put your palm together and then lean your hands back and spread your fingers. That's how you want that peach to look. Open center, branches out to the side. Lots of air circulation, lots of sunlight on the interior of the plant. A little bit of a trunk, not too high. But you know what? If a peach is going to survive, I've seen them produce fruit, even with no pruning, and they do it okay. But if you want optimum fruit quality, and you want all your fruits to be really good, and you want a lot of them, you're going to have to do that kind of pruning. Doesn't help the plant. In fact, it shortens the life of the plant. But that's the way we do peaches. Apples are kind of the same way, that you don't have to be so dramatic about it. I've got a bunch of apples that I'm playing with now, and I'm excited about them, but I'm not an aggressive pruner. I'm thinning them out. Don't want a lot of growth in the middle. Don't want a lot of crisscrossing growth, but I'm not pruning them hard. I don't feel like you really need to, unless you're spraying, but there it is. Why am I pruning this? That was the big question. That was the big question. Figs, we went through that. Muscadines, oh man, they got to be pruned. And did you hear me? Because they're vines. And they want to grow to the top of a tree and set their fruit there. And you don't want them to grow to the top of a tree and set their fruit there. You want them to set their fruit near the ground where you can pick it. It's all about you, right? All about you and your needs, not about the muscadine. I hope that helped. We'll be back next week.
Because everything gonna get down. On your bend knees, I ain't gonna dig no more taters. I decline, I ain't gonna pick no peas. Because everything is on the phone, you know.